Algar Productions.
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 So, with the new direction of the show, we're going to be making some changes around here.
Of course we are.
Oh, what now?
Oh, not much. Shifting some bits around, a few tweaks in personnel, new announcer.
Yeah, new announcer. You tried this at our last contract negotiation, and I knew you were bluffing then. You don't know anyone who can match my timber.
He's got you there, Al. Man has a hell of a timber.
It's timbre.
So could we just stop pretending you're replacing me again and just get back to—
Hi, guys!
Al, is that TV's George Lowe, well-known voiceover artist and star of Space
Never mind what I was the star of.
That's, quite the timber you have there, sir.
It's timbre.
Mr. Lowe, can you please say your catchphrase for us? You know, I'm George Lowe.
The hell kind of idiotic catchphrase is that? No, my catchphrase is, thank you for the sandwich.
That's fantastic, George.
Oh, so you're on a first-name basis with him now.
Who do you think gave him the sandwich? Now, George, take it away.
But I... my timber.
Timbre.
Sorry, man. Daddy's got to eat, too. Go get me some crullers, would you? Right now, go get the crullers. No, I have to have food right now. Crullers, now. Crullers.
Stupid new voice guy. Yeah, give him a sandwich, too. I never got a sandwich. I never even got a donut.
It's the best of Sarcastic Voyage.
Volume 3.
Featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the Sarcastic Voyage unpaid voice acting players.
Thank you, thank you. I'm honored and humbled to have been chosen as your new mayor. My first act will be to sweep away the corruption of the previous administration.
Hey! What the hell are you doing?
Well, citizen, you may not be happy that your candidate didn't make it into office, but the process has put me here, and I'm going
this
to do
This is my house, you jerk!
Was your house. I've officially been declared mayor of it.
What are you talking about?
Right here, on Foursquare. Danny McKenzie has become mayor of 1640 Lake Adjacent Court.
Foursquare is not a legally binding authority.
This mayoral decree that I signed this morning says differently, and City Hall is behind me on this one. Right, Mr. District Attorney?
Right, Ms. Mayor.
That is my daughter.
You have to respect the democratic process, Dad. The people have spoken.
The committee will come to order. We will now see the next witness. Please state your name for the record.
General Hawk, Senator.
I remind the witness that this committee will only recognize given names and not code names.
Clayton M. Abernathy, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Abernathy. We're here today to discuss an organization under your command, which I quote, is a daring, highly trained special mission force.
That's us, sir.
Yo, Joe!
Order. We will have order. General, I'd like to discuss the expenditures in this report. Many of these seem like reasonable, if not a bit pricey, purchases. Headquarters, aircraft carrier, jets, tanks. But then we move on to page 6. This list includes, let's see, an underwater jet, a tank that fires not artillery but bridges, 3 varieties of snow vehicle, presumably for all the wars we're fighting in the South Pole, a 1-man tank issued exclusively to a professional wrestler, an entire space shuttle, and oh yes, a helicopter backpack capable of flight.
Yes, sir. And if I may present a list of equipment employed by the Cobra terrorist organization, sir, I can easily justify—
General, by the power vested in me by the United States Senate, I order you to give me one of those helicopter backpacks. Committee dismissed.
Are you looking for electronics? So am I. And I run this shop full of it.
If you're feeling shopful, come to our place. You'll think you're robbing us because our prices are so low.
Hi, I'm TV's Rob Lowe. I'm not sure why I'm in this commercial. It's a commercial, right?
Why don't you tell them about our stock?
We start with a 5 billion cube. Then we add peace.
We also have a whorehouse full of electronics. You want Vicar? We have Divid. You want Divid? We have Blore.
Just listen to this tasty mail.
What the hell even are you? Where are you from?
I'm from the 70s.
And I'm from over there. That's where we kept the movies. We have Rasavur Dogs, the Malekipent Sambrosans, Taking of Palom 1, 2, 3...
Mary Shelley's Bram Stoker.
5, 6, 7...
Wait, so are you an electronics store or a video store?
10, act now and you'll get a Tony Award.
My ward, Tony, got rave reviews.
Is that why he had that glow stick and pacifier?
He's not a pacifier, he just joined the Coast Guard.
And that's why you should buy our store.
We see that now he's making the incision along the corrugated artery, so named for its similarity to bumpy cardboard. The red stuff in there is not, as you might think, blood, but actually a type of gelatin filling. This patient is, in fact, an elaborately constructed dessert, comprised largely of fondant and gingerbread.
Authorities are calling him the unreliable narrator. Once a perfectly professional and widely respected voiceover artist, now a madman with absolutely no regard for accuracy. The alleged saboteur has been audibly spotted in a number of television and radio recordings, including this recent assault on the Surgery Channel.
Because our cameraman is going in with such a tight shot, you can't actually see the chef's hat that the surgeon is wearing, nor his Kiss the Cook apron.
Hey, you!
Ha! You'll never take me alive, executive producer!
But I'm the sound editor.
You are whatever I say you are.
Anyone encountering this person should contact their local cable or satellite company immediately. We'll be right back.
Today's winning Lotpo number is 7. Just 7. If your Lotpo ticket has a 7 on it, you've won the $34 million jackpot.
There goes Ricky the raccoon!
And there goes Barry the bear. He's trying to get Ricky's Vanilla Void Flake cereal.
Delicious flakes of wheat and corn, coated in vanilla frosting. Part of this nutritious breakfast.
Oh no, Ricky, look out!
Remember, kids, sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes he eats you.
Hey, kids! If you send in 16 box tops from Vanilla Void Flakes, Chocolate Indifference Puffs, or New Strawberry Arbitrarios, you'll receive one prize from a vast assortment of prizes.
I got a strong, healthy body and enough money to attend a good college.
I was born with a crippling disfigurement. My life will be never-ending hardship.
Our exciting prizes will remind you of the impossibility of an objective reality, the fact that there is no higher power and the universe doesn't care if you live or die. Don't forget, life, happiness, and health are entirely random.
I got eaten by a cartoon bear.
You sure did, Ricky. You sure did.
Man, I gotta say, I'm not usually a party kind of guy, but this is actually a pretty decent little gathering.
Best party I've ever been to. The best.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that... Hey, what do you have there? Is that a little sandwich? That looks tasty.
Dude, tasty doesn't even describe it. This sandwich is epic.
I don't think...
Literally, epic.
I'm not sure you understand what either of those words mean.
I'm telling you, man, I know exactly what they mean. And this sandwich is absolutely that. Ep motherfucking ick.
It's just, I'm a high school English teacher, and I hear students using those words all the time. They're a bit hyperbolic, if you ask me.
Bro, go to the kitchen and get one yourself. This is the most epic sandwich I've ever had.
Fine. I'm quite hungry and really not interested in getting into a pedantic argument over misused work.
Armies of Fenshire, advance! It has been 12 long years since I have laid eyes upon my homeland. With this sandwich, I can free my oppressed people restore balance to the natural order of things, and return home to my wife.
I'll just grab a piece of this.
Mom, I finished my dinner. May I be excused?
You sure can, sweetie. Is all your homework done?
Yes, it's done. I guess I'll go watch TV now.
Aren't you gonna go play detective? I thought you and your pal, the ghost of... Oh, geez. What was it again?
The ghost of former President Warren G. Harding.
Right. I thought you liked solving mysteries with him every chance you got.
Oh, I did. I loved it. We were the best gumshoes you could get for $5. But he's gone away.
Oh, honey, what happened?
I don't know. I woke up one day and he just wasn't there. And where he used to be? Former President Calvin Coolidge.
Well, welcome to our home, Mr. President. I say, it's an honor to have you in our home, sir. Can he hear me?
He sure can. He just doesn't say much. For a while, I thought it might be some kind of a trick, like he was the ghost of a Calvin Coolidge impersonator who couldn't do the voice very well. But then I asked him about
laissez-faire government.
Right, that. But that's pretty much all. I don't think I can solve a lot of mysteries with that.
Well, let me get my purse, honey, and the two of you can investigate the case of the 1924 farm subsidies.
Don't patronize me, Mom. Ah!
Don't sass your mother.
You can't do that. He can't do that, can he, Mom?
Apparently he can. And let's be honest, sweetie, you did have that coming.
It's gonna be a long 6 years before I get to hang out with the ghost of Herbert Hoover.
That guy.
Hello, sir. How can I help you?
Yes, hi. I'd like to buy a comedy sketch, please.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Have I? Do you specialize in comedy sketches?
Not necessarily, sir. But you've walked into a shop and asked for something. That's one of the most common ways to begin a comedy sketch.
I see. So what are my options?
Well, we've got the standard thinly veiled social commentary.
And how does that go?
Well, you'd come in like you did, and you'd say something like, I'd like to return this military drone! It's been shooting at people that shouldn't be shooting at!
Oh, that's horrible. That's not comedy, is it?
I'm afraid so, sir. If you think that's dark, though, there's worse. There's gallows humor.
You just shot that puppy!
I did. Do you get it?
I didn't. That was horrible.
Well, humor is subjective. You could try to return it as faulty merchandise, but that's been done. How about this?
What on earth is...
It's surreal. We're doing a nonsense sketch now.
It's a bowl of pudding with a beanie cap on it.
No, it isn't. That's my son, and I'll not have you insulting a member of my...
No. This won't do at all. I thought comedy sketches were supposed to make me laugh.
Well, there's... this is a real crowd pleaser.
What is it?
The pop culture awareness sketch. Let's see. I like the way you died, puppy.
What was that?
It's from that movie, Django Unchained.
I never saw that. All you did was remind me that the puppy is dead.
Yeah, not much fun, is it? Okay, I have one more thing, and then I'm out of ideas. It's called meta. It's when you're aware you're in a comedy sketch.
Oh yeah? How does that work?
Well, in the hands of a clever writer, it's a device that can self-reflexively comment on the overall concept of humor in general, and the form of sketch comedy in specific. But in less skilled hands, the writer basically just uses it to acknowledge that he doesn't know how to end the thing.
Ladies, gentlemen, the SVN TV network has struggled near the bottom of the pack for too long. But this year, I'm confident that we can claw our way back to the top. Our flagship series this fall, Sexy Alice, takes a more mature approach to Alice in Wonderland, which is an approach that we feel...
Mr. Harrison, sir, Sorry to interrupt, but KTO is doing their upfronts right now, and, well, have a look, sir.
If you think you know Wonderland, you don't know Alice.
I'm ready for you, Mr. Hatter.
Ooh!
Turn it off. How? How did they get this? This was our idea. Our highly original idea. Nobody has ever thought of making a sexy version of Alice in Wonderland before us. Okay, well, you ladies and gentlemen are going to go back to the drawing board and you're going to help me come up with the most adult reimagining of a thing that isn't particularly suited for an adult reimagining as you can think of.
Right.
Being composed of five different sets of organs means five times the passion. Its fire cannot be contained by mere neck bolts, because this fire is good. Fire good. Sundays this fall.
Villainy reigns, but passions run high.
Kiss me, beast man!
Because you can't spell Snake Mountain without S and M.
Boys like Peter aren't afraid of wolves.
Ugh, this is exhausting. It's like some kind of sexy TV Cold War.
Sir, I've got it. I know how we can win this.
I'm listening.
Let's take this in completely the opposite direction.
How do you mean?
Paul's mom is his best friend in the whole world. This summer on SVN Kids, it's Taboo! Fun for the entire family.
Al, can I talk to you for a second?
Sure, honey.
First of all, what is that noise? Was that always here?
Oh, I put that in here a couple of weeks ago when George Lowe was here. It's for awkward silences, so people know when they're deliberate and not some kind of technical glitch.
I thought you hated long pauses because you told me you did, and also you edit out all of our breathing because that's wasted joke time. At least that's what you told me that one time when we talked about it, why it doesn't ever sound like I breathe. And anyway, aren't we still pretending that we're on a submarine? Couldn't you just at least tell people that it's something to do with the submarine?
Well, you know, I told you there'd be a lot of changes when we relaunched.
Right, which brings me to... Al, who the hell is this?
Who the hell is who?
The guy standing not 3 feet away from us who's been quietly reading that script the entire time.
What, that? That's Jason.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah, hi. Al, I don't know this person. As far as I understand it, unless everyone who's ever been on the show already knows a person, they basically don't exist.
You know, that does seem like a really smart way to run a podcast, but I thought I'd try something a little different. Jason here is a voice actor.
Oh, Al, sorry to interrupt, but this sketch here where you have Sherlock Holmes going on and on for... 7 pages about how he solved a crime.
Take that, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
So did you want me to do a sort of Basil Rathbone? It is apparent to me from the telltale traces of instant potato flakes in the victim's kitchen. Or maybe a Robert Downey Jr. kind of, I'm clearly the most clever and adorable person in this room, Watson. Now show us your bum. Or I could try a Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, is that what that guy does? Well, all of those were perfect.
I didn't even give you my Cumberbatch yet.
He doesn't know anything about Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh, Jason, do your Skeletor for Matt.
Beastman, seize those fools!
What?
Pretty great, huh?
But I...
Sorry, that was a bit off. That's like Oppenheimer doing Merman all day and then switching to Skeletor. I can do it better. Hang on a sec.
Skeletor's my bit. You can't get a new Skeletor. And who the hell is Oppenheimer?
Alan Oppenheimer voiced Skeletor in the Filmation cartoon, you fool.
Al, can the new guy call me a fool?
I think he just did.
Oh, and this Hannibal sketch.
I didn't even know we were doing a Hannibal sketch.
It seems like the whole point is that you think it's funny that Hannibal Lecter is played as German on the show.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even sound anything like Anthony Hopkins.
Lecter's German in the books.
Listen, you stick to the voice acting, kid. Writing is hard work. You leave that to me.
Oh, really? Because I had a bunch of sketch pitches here, but I guess I can...
Ooh, let's have a look. Battlestar Mathematica. Watch as Sir Isaac Newton, with the help of calculus, integrate Cylons. Into space. With the airlock. Ha! This is great stuff!
Yeah, it's good, but it's not... a sarcastic voyage.
Well, what does that mean?
It means he didn't write it.
Silence, you fool!
They were just 3 boys trying to sneak into an R-rated movie.
One ticket to Unseasonably Dead, please.
Little did they know that standing on each other's shoulders under that trench coat would change their lives forever.
That trench coat turned us into a grown-up.
and now they're learning an important lesson about responsibility and giving a care.
The fake mustache won't come off! It's a real mustache now!
Joel Stanton of the Portland Times says the magic trench coat is the human centipede with a heart. And Carl Rorl says,
hey, get out of here!
So long, sucker!
Boy, the cicadas are thick this year.
Yeah, are these the 7 or those 17-year cicadas?
Sorry, did you just pronounce it cicada?
I did. How do you say it?
I say cicada.
And I say cicada.
You say let's eat 'em.
And you say why not a?
Cicada.
Cicada.
Let's eat 'em.
Why not a?
Let's have a plate full of bugs. Let's have a plate full of bugs.
I won't do it. I won't let you into this bank vault, you fiend.
Quiver in fear, puny bank manager. Quiver at the sight of the mighty metal tentacles of Dr. Octopus.
Not so fast.
Spider-Man.
That's right. Everyone's had about enough of your shit, Dr. Coctopus.
Wait, what did you just call me?
Ooh, that was a bad taste.
What? What bad taste? This is me. I'm Spider-Man. I make bad jokes while I beat up bad guys.
Look, you don't make jokes like that. That was over the line.
Line? What line? This man is trying to steal all of the money in your bank vault and quite possibly murder you in the process.
That's as may be, web-slinger, but I don't use profanity.
My kid wants to be Spider-Man for Halloween. Well, what do I tell him?
But
did you hear what he did to the vulture?
Oh, come on.
What'd he do?
He grabbed the guy's pills and threw them off a building.
Whoa, not cool.
Those pills are how he gets his power, I think.
No, they aren't. The vulture's 87 years old. That was his medication for Parkinson's disease.
What? Oh, God.
Man, the Daily Bugle was right. This guy's a menace.
He's the menace? He's robbing this bank. I'm trying to save you.
We all have our flaws, but I try to be sensitive to the feelings of others. After all, Spider-Man, with great power comes great respons-
Oh, for the love of- All right. You know what? That's it. I quit. You can tie yourself to a lamppost and leave a note for the cops because I'm through. You hear that? Hear that, world? I'm finished. From here on out, it's Spider-Man no more.
Easiest $20 I ever made.
What?
Oh, man, you were right.
What just happened here?
Double or nothing.
Yeah, sure.
What?
My friend here took a friendly wager with me that I couldn't trick you into giving up on being Spider-Man.
Your friend? The bank manager.
I don't manage this bank, you idiot. My name is Flint Marko.
The Sandman.
That's right. Otto here said he was short on cash for lunch. I suggested not going over this bank, and he says, no, I have a proposition. And man, was he right. You're nothing but a big quitter. I've been taking the wrong angle with you for years. I should have just tried hurting your precious little feelings instead of trying to crack your skull.
Man, this is bullshit. I risk my lives against you people. You don't even take this seriously. I'm out of here.
All right, pay up $40.
I thought we'd done taking care of all this fluid link business.
Now that there's Miss Sarah Smith, the doctor's traveling friend. She sure does drive those humanoids wild with her cut-off overalls.
Well, Sarah Jane, you know old girl here loves to guzzle that mercury. Now, we better haul tail and find some, I reckon.
And this here's the Doc. Just a good old Time Lord boy, always in a heap of trouble.
Hey, Doc. Listen.
What's that, my girl?
Somebody's coming.
No shit. Well, better whip out my sonic socket wrench.
What's it say, Doc?
I ain't got a clue, Sarah Jane, because I plumb forgot to put a display on this damn thing. Well, that's all right. Think I got that receipt in the TARDIS somewheres.
Golly, you sure know a lot about drums, Colonel Masters.
Well, Enos, you tried joining your Rye Heap cover band without that kind of know-how, and I told you it's Sheriff now, so hey, who the hell are y'all? What the hell are y'all doing here?
I ain't loitering. I know my rights.
Now you hush all that up and get back in the house.
You don't tell me what to do. I ain't gonna listen to you.
Boys, Daddy. I'm the Maybe doctor.
Doctor Daddy. What?
Daddy.
Wait. The doctor? Dang, Sheriff, we got a call, boss. Hooloo-voo.
Enos, you lunkhead. There's no need to bother our friend, the hyper-intelligent shade of blue. After all, this is Georgia, kid. We got guns out the wazoo.
Well, hell, that was easy. I wonder why them Daleks don't just up and shoot them every time.
They ain't too bright, son. They just figured out stairs.
Ain't that easy, boys. I can just come back from the dead like Space Jesus. Hey, I got me a full set of teeth again.
Gold, darn it!
Dr. What is, was, and has yet to be filmed before an ancient uncanny race of studio audiences.
Good noon to you. I'm acclaimed public radio personality Glenn Irons, most recently acclaimed for our documentary feature, Pissing in the Wind, There's Nothing You Can Do About Global Climate Change. For most of us, summertime means fair trade organic chicken breasts on our charcoal grills, an earnest attempt to understand European sports, and of course, new music. Leading the pack this noon is noted heavy metal group Radiation Sickness, who, with their 14th studio release, have taken a more avant-garde approach to their art form, albeit inadvertently.
Yeah, so we were setting up in the f***ing studio, right? And Sven, he says, yo, we're out of f***ing vodka. So we take five, right? And I guess we left everything rolling because this bum... Oh, sorry. This homeless f***ing piece of s*** bum. He comes in and he's like, starts rambling on our tracks. Right into my f***ing microphone with his pukey f***ing breath. We were about to race that s*** and get back to work. But Sven, he's like, let's release it. Anyway, so now we're up for a Best Spoken Word Grammy. I guess it helps that we told everyone it was Bob Dylan.
Rising, don't drink from the regulars. My pigtails are pretty. My pigtails are pretty. I'm a pretty girl in the game of dress. My teeth smell like hair. The queen is on line six.
We're pretty far from the next solstice, but if anyone's looking for a Yule gift suggestion for a certain acclaimed public radio host, a thesaurus would not go unappreciated. I simply run out of words that mean the same as delightful on this program. Next, we have another aging star of guitar rock, this time punk specifically, and his attempt to stay relevant.
And see, the thing is, yeah, I'm getting any younger, right? But my daughter... She thinks she's a dinosaur. That'd be, right, me. She thinks I'm a damn dinosaur. Me. We wrote Her Majesty's Sphincter when she was a gleam in my eye, yeah? My daughter, not the queen. Sorry, Your Majesty. So I made this record to show them both that I've still got teeth, you know? And I think it speaks for itself, really.
This song is called Go Back Upstairs and Study for Your GCSEs. Is it all you wankers? Oh, Caitlin's dad. Since my baby girl, so respect her lad. I'm proud of your art. I put you back up. But she should think of art. School has a backup. If you want a car, you've got to earn it. That's a good life lesson and you've got to learn it. Don't try and smoke box. Oh, you know that I'll catch ya. I'll take back what I said about Mrs. Thatcher.
Well, that was just heavenly. Captivating, even. Next up, we have Random Abstract Melodies, the long-awaited collaboration between electro-funk pioneer Manuel Cristo Tomas de Homonym and minimalist composer Cocteau Payne.
You will understand, I grew weary of the staid pedestrian means and mode of creating electronic music. To plop a Morador click track down and layer the catchy synth lines or guitar licks is to merely make a money horse, which, in the end, really only spreads ennui, no? My vocation, I have always said, is midwife to the cyborg babby of art. These others, they are simply cranking out so-called club bangers with their digital popsicle sticks and digital Elmer's glue. It is mere craft work.
Yes, indubitably. Electronic music absolutely must evolve by abandoning those archaic notions of beats and notes, and what the neo-bohemians might call enjoyment. and I hope this new record advances that very worthy cause. I'm so very glad that this opportunity to work with Manuel came about. I was in dire need of a more challenging, more painfully opaque project after the commercial failure of Kafka on the Patio.
That was positively enrapturing. It has a good beat that I couldn't hear, and I'm sure it's somehow physically possible for one to dance to it. Finally, well, I can't say as I'd completely approve of this if I were in charge of this program, which indeed I am supposed to be. Apparently it's not enough to not clean the microwave behind oneself in this place, but now we've taken to allowing big corporations to use our program as a soapbox for their propaganda. Well, that's just fine.
We've been accused of, shall we say, aping a certain mouse-based company's style for years now. It started when their feature film, Aladdin, came out just 2 weeks before our feature, Aladdin and His Lamp. We've had this, let's just say, rivalry ever since. Children may like King of the Jungle a little bit less than a certain version from the other guys, but we test very well among our target demographic. Confused grandmas. Lately, though, we've decided to branch out into stories that our competitors aren't developing, but you know, the classics are the classics. The most popular story that we, either company, ever did was about that Little Mermaid. Beautiful story, Hans Christian Andersen, you know. Well, it turns out he wrote all sorts of stories that those other guys haven't even developed. Hence, our new project, The Match Girl. And what we hope will be the hit song therefrom, Covered in Matches.
New Year's Eve, all alone. Out on the street, nothing to eat. I can go home, or my father will beat me. He says sell these matches to pay for my keep. I'll just light one, just to stay warm. Reminds me of better times. Grandma's arms around me, Christmas in my heart, glowing warm inside me. Oh, just one more. Why can't my life be covered in matches? The flame cupped in my hands, I can see better lands. Oh, Dad will be so pleased with my gift this New Year's Eve. Now there's one less mouth to smack, and there's two less eyes to black. Now there's no more matchlight. I've been killed by the frostbite.
Wasn't that delightful? Probably. Who has time to listen to it when there's salsa or possibly some kind of garden chunk marinara sauce to be scrubbing out of the turntable, the walls, and even the inside door of the station microwave? Join us next noon when I just might be finished cleaning up this horrible mess. Until then, this is Glenn Irons saying good noon to you all.
You're just joining us at this postseason exhibition game, where the teams have agreed to pit their various mascots against one another on the field of play. Here are some results from earlier games. The Jets strafed the Buccaneers, handily sinking their ships and leaving them for dead in the black, unforgiving ocean. The Falcons devoured the Cardinals, who, frankly, barely had a chance. And now we join what promises to be a brutal contest here as the Lions face off against the Bears.
That's right, Chuck. The crowd seems positively riveted out there this afternoon. Apart from one young Canadian woman who fled the stadium a short while ago as the players walked onto the field.
Never mind that. It looks like the game has begun.
There's the kickoff. The Bears receiving and... well, look at that Grizzly go. He's on the 40. The 30. Touchdown, Bears! How about that?
Well, it's no surprise, Tony. This team is in fine form. They're hungry. And frankly, They're keen to prove the athletic capabilities of a pack of bears. Is it a pack,
I believe that's actually a sleuth, Chuck.
Huh. Nature is weird.
It sure is, but it makes for some damn good football.
Uh-oh.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. Offense. No touchdown.
Ooh. Looks like that bear's little victory dance cost them the touchdown.
And it looks like that call just cost the referee his life. And now the field has descended into chaos as first the Bears and now the Lions begin tearing into the refs, the spectators, and of course each other. It's a pretty gruesome sight down there, Chuck.
Oh God, who thought this was a good idea?
It's the Merry Marvel Marching Society's roast of Stan Lee! And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Jack King Kirby!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Wonderful to see you here tonight. Our guest of honor is the recipient of the Jack Kirby Award for Comics Excellence. He received this award in 1995, the year after I died. Strange coincidence, that. According to Stan, he's the inventor of Spider-Man, Thor, Captain America, the Black Panther, the Black Panthers, Harry Potter, Jughead, Jarhead, Eraserhead, Jack Ryan, Jerry Ryan, Meg Ryan, the Animal Man, George the Animal Steel, George Carlin, Curious George, Hal 9000, Andre 3000, Captain Caveman, Captain Crunch, Captain Chesapeake, Captain Kangaroo, and pointing out that it's bad to mistreat people who are different than you. Yes, apparently nobody ever noticed that before old Smiling Stan here came along. Many of you may know Stan's catchphrase, face front, true believers. The reason he wants you to face front is so he can steal your wallet. I kid, of course. Who could possibly trivialize the contributions of the media giant who brought the world the unmistakable icon Stripperella? This is assuming, of course, that Stan did create Stripperella and that he didn't just snatch up the credit and glory from some poor, unassuming artist. Spider-Man co-creator Steve Ditko is notoriously unreachable for interviews, but few people realize it's because Stan is always intercepting the film crews before they can get to Steve's house. Those aren't cameos he has in all those fine Marvel movies. Those are directors saying, fine, if it'll make this old guy leave our set, just give him a pot. Really though, Stan, I gotta hand it to you. This is the longest you've ever let anyone talk without butting in. For the man who used the phrase, enough said, you sure never meant it. Well, strap in, true believer. We have some people here who'd like to have some words with you.
And now, via Skype, the amazing Spider-Man!
Hey, gang. Sorry I couldn't be there in person, but I was able to make an appearance via the World Wide Web. Web? Spider? Nothing? Well, that's it. I quit.
And now, because the network is legally obligated to feature a female comedian, here's Julia Walker.
Oh, man. I just started my period.
Please welcome Daredevil!
Sorry I couldn't find the microphone. I'm blind, you see. Stan Lee created a blind superhero who...
Stop this at once.
What? Who's that? I can't see anything. I'm blind and...
Stop it. Just stop. I am Uatu, the Watcher. Mine is only to observe. I am forbidden to interfere.
Well, then what's the deal, yo?
I could not sit idly by while another horrible series of Daredevil is blind jokes were told. While I am indeed not allowed in any way to alter the natural course of this reality, come on, seriously. Daredevil is blind? What? You ran out of Ant-Man is short jokes?
Well, I mean, actually, I...
Enough!
Hello, everyone. I'm Nicolas Cage.
star of the Ghost Rider films.
And now give a big hand for Superman!
Stan, I know you didn't create me, and I could really lay into you for all the DC characters and concepts you've ripped off over the years. Really, I had a whole Just Imagine Stan Lee Not Being a Total Hack bit prepared, but... Stan, you've got to get me out of there! You don't know what it's like! The things Zack Snyder is making me do, they're horrible! Please! I'll start at the bottom of the Marvel Universe! I'll do anything! I'll clean up after the Hulk! I'll take Ms. Lion for walks! I'll hang out with D-Man! Please, just don't make me go back!
Hi, Stan. It's Tom Hiddleston. I played Loki in...
And now, please welcome May Parker!
Mr. Lee is often praised for creating characters that, despite their almost childish surroundings, are known for their multi-layered complexity. So I have him to thank for not only being old, but also sick most of the time. Also, I like to make wheat cakes. So clearly, I'm an incredibly nuanced character. Of course, Stan created me in 1961 when he was already well into his 80s. So he knows a few things about old. Oh, we had to hold this roast before 4 p.m. so Stan wouldn't miss the early bird special.
Didn't I create the early bird?
There's no superhero called Early Bird, you jackass.
Hi, folks. J. Jonah Jameson here. You know, folks, audiences instantly hated me for my very first appearance because of my Hitler mustache. Yeah, thanks, Stan. Real subtle. I guess giving me your own pencil-thin John Waters stash wasn't creepy enough.
Get ready to laugh. It's Lisa Lampanelli.
Wait, Luke Cage isn't here tonight? F*** this.
And now, it's the man of the hour, Stan Lee!
Hello, folks. I look out here tonight and I see a lot of faces, and I have no idea who any of you are. There are two kinds of people in this world, you see. The insignificant people who didn't create Spider-Man, the X-Men, and the Avengers. And then there's me, Stan Lee. You're all a bunch of losers and I'm the greatest. Excelsior, you sons of bitches!
Hello, I'm Bear von Frankbob, the world-renowned mushroom physicist, with today's installment of Secrets of Time and Space. Lean in closely now, I have to whisper it. Time is gay. This has been Pierre von Frankbob with another Secret of Time and Space.
So, not to put too fine a point on this, but how long do I have to stay at this thing exactly?
What thing?
This non-mandatory morale-boosting party. How long am I required to be here till my morale has improved to the satisfaction of the management?
Just relax, would you? Everything's pretty laid back, actually. I'm gonna go get a drink.
Actually, I think I've been seen by everyone I needed to be seen by. I'm just gonna head out.
You sure? I think we might try to play a board game soon.
Definitely sure.
Right. See you Monday, then.
So long. I can't believe I got roped into this thing. I'm always... Ah!
Oh, hey, Jerry.
Doug.
How's it going?
Good, actually. I was just gonna...
Can you believe these parties? They always say non-mandatory, but that's like when people say, no offense, but, you know, it doesn't mean anything.
Right. Listen, I really...
Jerry, can I ask you something?
Sure, Doug.
I want you to be honest with me. None of this sparing my feelings bullshit, all right?
Okay.
Jerry, do you think people notice that I'm a large, flightless bird? I mean, more to the point. Do you think they noticed that one day I wasn't a large flightless bird and the next day I was?
Well, I mean...
You remember, you promised. No bullshit.
Right. No bullshit. Right. Well, Doug, I think, yes, I think maybe they've noticed.
I knew it! They don't say anything to me, but I knew they could tell.
It's not entirely something you could miss, all things considered.
No, I suppose not. Still, it's one of those sort of embarrassing personal things, you know, like getting a zit or having something stuck between your teeth. When you finally notice, you find yourself worrying everyone thinks you look like a fool, and then you sort of get carried away in your head, and maybe it actually wasn't all that big deal in the first place.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you're a large flightless bird.
Don't you think I know that?
Doug?
Yeah, Jer?
Why are you a large flightless bird?
Well, funny thing, I have no idea. One day I went to bed a 5'8" human. Next morning, I'm a 6'11" bird. Best I can tell, I pissed off a gypsy or something.
So, are you an ostrich or an emu?
Also a very good question. I've done a little research and I think I might be a ray? I think that's how they say it.
A what?
A ray. Native to South America. Hunted by the cowboys or gauchos of the region for our meat. I heard we're much more tender than ostriches, actually. Quite tasty.
And, What do you eat, exactly?
Well, that's a bit of a sticky wicket. The morning I woke up like this, I tried to just continue to live my life as normal. I was about halfway through making an omelet when I realized that maybe I was being punished for eating eggs. That got me to wondering if I'd upset any vegans who might also be sorcerers, but... well, there's a lot I don't know about the people in my life.
Yeah, I guess if people are scared to talk to you about being a large, flightless bird...
Exactly! Anyway, I stick to fruit mostly now, and, well... don't tell anyone, but a bug flew in my mouth the other day and I kind of liked it. Total accident though, I swear.
Hey, listen, man, I don't judge. Well, except...
Uh-oh, what?
Well, it's just... my grandmother was a gypsy. That thing you said a minute ago was a little bit racist.
Oh, man, I am so sorry. Racism is wrong. I've learned the error of my bigoted ways and now I'm prepared to be a better person. I'm still a large flightless bird, huh?
Yep.
Damn, I really thought that would work.
Sarcastic Voyage has embarked on a modest undertaking to chronicle the entirety of human history in sketch form. Join us as we uncover the mysteries of the past in our ongoing feature, which we call History. It's not as good as it used to be. Chicago, 1871.
Now, I'll be back for you two later.
Hey, Kevin?
Yeah?
Can I ask you a personal question?
If you're gonna ask me if Mrs. O'Leary just put a rubber band on me in an unseemly place, the answer is yes.
So it's not just me, then. What's that all about?
Let's just say that I hope you're not too attached to singing bass.
I'm a cow, I don't sing.
I always forget how much trouble you have with these metaphors. She's gonna chop our testicles off.
What? Why? I need those, I think.
I hear you, buddy. And I've been thinking about how we might get ourselves a little payback.
Oh?
Yeah. You see that lantern over there?
Yeah.
I had this thought that maybe one of us could kick it over. Lights go out, the O'Leary broad can't see what she's doing. Maybe we even escape in the process.
Escape? But where would we go?
Have you ever seen the world outside this barn? There's a huge city outside. A great wooden city that the humans call Chicago. Surely there's some place we can run to for safety.
It won't be easy to run with this thing on my...
Go on, say it. You may not have them for much longer.
On my testicles. Much less kick over that lantern.
Well, maybe we could do it together. A coordinated effort.
Yeah, what the hell? Let's do this. YOLO, right?
Don't ever say that again.
All right.
Okay, now. You get a... yeah, there you go. Okay. Good. Ready. All right. 1, 2, 3!
Uh-oh.
Wow, that fire's spreading fast. Well done?
Please don't say well done when we're this close to an open flame.
What's going on? Oh my goodness!
Now, while she's distracted, let's get out of here.
Right!
Okay. I think we're okay. Slow down.
I'll just turn my neck and look behind. Gah!
What are you? Oh, Jesus!
Did we do that?
Well, okay. Technically, they did it by building their entire city out of wood, but yes, I have a weird feeling that we might get blamed for this.
Oh, God!
No, this is good. We've sent a message. They come at you with a knife, you come at them with a burning down their city.
Yeah, that's the Chicago cow way!
You know, we're not actually cows, right?
Well, sure, but who's gonna take the Chicago bull seriously?
Hey there, TV viewers! I'm local pizza entrepreneur Carl Waketsky, but you can call me Quark. All my friends do, because I'm charming and lovably strange. Also, I'm a top, but you got no right into my private life, leave me alone. Here at the Pizza Collider, we're dedicated to giving you hot, fresh, tasty pizza whenever you want it. That's why we've recently moved the restaurant outside of the space-time continuum. Now we don't have to pay attention to all those pesky laws of physics. And that means better service, better pizza, freedom from those goddamn property taxes. Just look at some of the great benefits. With no Kirchhoff circuit laws, we can afford to keep the lights on in this place indefinitely. And that means 24-hour delivery. And no thermodynamic entropy means your pizza is always hot and fresh. I would say forever, but that'd be redundant. Also, time has no objective meaning here. But who can argue with pizza showing up before you order it, am I right? Hey, let's head on over to the Eat Suite and talk to a satisfied customer. Hey there, kid. How's that slice?
It's great, Mr. Quark. So hot and fresh. And I can experience every single flavor at once since I'm not stuck in a fixed frame of reference.
Great. Keep it up, kid. Oh, one little warning to parents. Watch your kids. If they wander too far into one of the corners of Pizza Collider, the molecular bonds might break down on account of there being no electronegativity no more, and they'll cease to be coherent particulate matter. Just a heads up. I mean, hey, Jimmy, what do we always say?
Curiosity killed the covalence.
Exactly. So come on down to Pizza Collider for the great pizza, the great atmosphere, and the great lack of black body radiation. I'm Mr. Quark, and I'm ready for strong interaction with you!
We now return to Frankenstein Meets the Mummy.
Mummified ruins of Pharaoh Hamhagun the 18th, this is Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster, sorry. This is the mummy.
Nice to meet you.
Well, that went well, I thought.
Hello, welcome to McBurgerties. Would you like to try one of our new tater tot flavored potato chip tater tots today?
What do you want me to put down my neck hole?
Well, you've heard of our award-winning tater tots.
I'm sorry, I'm usually very busy during potato awards season.
Sir, I feel like you're mocking me.
And I feel like eating. Looks like no one's going home happy right now.
Okay, so, a prominent snack food company has found a way to harness the deliciousness of our tots in potato chip form.
Uh-huh. So you made potato chips that tastes like potatoes.
Then we devised a new flavor of tot based on this revolutionary new snack food.
So you made potatoes that taste like potatoes that taste like...
You're almost there.
Potatoes.
You've got it!
No, that sounds terrible. Can't I just have a number 6?
I can serve that inside a number 4 for 20 cents more.
I beg your pardon?
That's when we take your number 6 and shove it inside a number 4.
Why on earth would you do that?
A lot of our guests like the experience of eating two meals at once. It really feeds their contempt for the poor.
Well, I'm learning an awful lot about the food service industry today.
Ah, there you are. I am Balaban. Not to be confused with popular character actor Bob Balaban. And I have a tale for you, traveler. Come closer. Closer still. Closer! Oh, too close. Stalking in the midst of this quiet, simple, abandoned Tri Amigos set, there is a creature. A creature whose very name strikes fear into the hearts of gauchos and Chevy Chase alike. The Chupa Donkey. In the language of the white man, this means donkey sucker. While this, coincidentally, is the name of a popular sideshow in Tijuana, I assure you there is nothing vigorously arousing about the chupa donkey. Unless, of course, you are thinking of a fear boner. The chupa donkey is a weighty creature, in size somewhere between a small Disney-esque bear and an alarmingly large tapir. And its back is covered in a sharp line of vicious spines, ready to impale anyone foolish enough to pet it or molest it for sexual gratification. The signs in Tijuana are confusing and poorly worded, you see. Anyone could make such a mistake. It's very common. It is. If you cross paths with this terrifying, highly erotic creature, you must do exactly as I say, or your life will be forfeit. One, you must open the door. Any and all doors around you. The chupa donkey is hypnotized by rectangular wood frames, you see. But who isn't? Especially with a nice cherry varnish. Oh, yes, right, the list. Two, you must get on the floor. Lay yourself down and remain motionless for no fewer than 36 seconds. Any shorter and the chupa donkey will pounce, thinking you are escaping prey. Any longer and the chupa donkey will also pounce, thinking you are a plank of fascinating cherry varnished wood. And finally, three, the most important step. You must walk the dinosaur. The chupa donkey is apparently a huge fan of Was Not Was and their 1988 pop-funk album, What Up Dog. That is the greatest mystery of them all. With this in mind, you might very well survive an encounter with the dreaded chupa donkey. But of course, you are a man, not a donkey. And so this information is largely irrelevant to you. The chupa donkey exclusively hunts donkeys, as you might expect. In fact, I don't know why I told you these things. Perhaps it is because I long for human intimacy and acceptance instead of the cold, moist holes of a cryptid. Perhaps I only want to fuck your heart. Wait, don't go. Hey, the Tijuana show starts in 20 minutes. We can still make it.
Hello there, I'm Avondale Neckbolt, president and CEO of Neckbolt Farms for the past, 37 years. You know, my granddaddy started this company in 1866 with a little more than $500 in Confederate money, a book of family recipes, and a firm belief in the healing power of bat's milk. A century and a half later, Zikazai Neckbolt's proud traditions and original bat's milk recipes are still observed to the letter. Whether it's the cream filling in our sponge cake pastries or the whipped topping on our chocolate cupcakes, you can sleep easy knowing you're getting upwards of 6,000% of your recommended daily allowance of pure bat's milk. And while our competitors may have moved to more modern means of harvesting this natural delicacy, we still get our bat's milk the old-fashioned way, by milking bats. Try our delicious baked goods today, or pick up a quart, half gallon, or a whole gallon of pure bat's milk to enjoy in your own recipes, or as a refreshing beverage in its own right. Remember, at Neckbolt Farms, you're not just eating. You're eating things made with bat's milk.
What race is this?
You're not allowed to ask that question. Don't make me call Ukla.
I can't believe you played the Ras card. All I got was a draw four.
What's a draw four?
I don't know, friend. What's a draw four with you?
Did you say play the race car?
No, the car is playing that.
I heard that race car is a palindrome.
What?
Palindromy.
Oh, okay.
Now who's playing the race car?
You know, Raskar is the same farwards as backwards.
What a eureka.
I think I centrifugulated my farce.
You don't look like a Jedi to me.
Don't be a racist.
Tell me, young Star Wars, what brings you out this far?
Relive the adventure.
If they traced the robots here, they might have learned who they sold them to, and that would lead them back home.
But wait, Star Wars, it's too dangerous.
Relive the action.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
I'm Star Wars. I'm here to rescue you.
Relive the film that defined a generation the way its creator originally intended.
I mean, obviously Luke Skywalker was just a placeholder. It's a ridiculous name. I called the movie Star Wars for a reason.
Use the Force, Star Wars.
Star Wars, you've switched off your targeting computer. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm all right.
Star Wars, the story of a hero. Named Star Wars. Rated PG. Parental discretion advised.
Amnesia Ray. To lose last 5 seconds of memory, pointed forehead and pull trigger. Amnesia Ray. To lose last 5 seconds of memory, pointed forehead and pull trigger. Amnesia Ray.
Oh, Pete! Thanks for coming. I'll take your coat. Drinks are over there. Jeff's just doing some card tricks in the parlor. You should go check it out. He's really good.
Card tricks, huh? Couldn't get a clown?
Trust me. Come on, I'll introduce you.
Yeah, okay.
Jeff, this is my friend Pete. He'd love to see a card trick.
Really?
Well, I mean, I've seen most of those Magician's Secrets Revealed specials. I doubt you'll be able to do anything.
Be a sport.
Well, you two have fun.
Thanks a lot.
Now, we've never met before, have we?
You mean before Wilma introduced us just now? No, I can honestly say that we've never met. Also, why are you asking? Nobody else is in this room with us.
Okay, I have here a totally ordinary deck of cards. Not marked in any way. Bicycle brand. Could I please have you select any one of these 52 cards, sir?
You mean the one that's quite obviously sticking out a little further than the other ones?
Don't let me influence you in any way.
Fine. I'll take this one.
Now, look at the card. Memorize it. You got it?
Yes, I think I can remember a number and a color without any help.
Now, without showing it to me, shuffle it back into the deck. While you're doing that, I'm going to draw a circle on the floor here with this chalk.
What?
Concentrate on the shuffling. Only on the shuffling. Now, hand the deck back to me. Take the chalk. Thank you. Now, I want you to draw a 5-pointed star inside this circle. Try to keep the lines as straight as you can.
Like this?
Exactly like that. Perfect.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to start handing you these candles. I want you to light each one and place it at a point of the star.
This is the most elaborate misdirection I've ever seen. Couldn't you just say, hey, look over there?
You're a real kidder. Now, finished with the candles? Good. Now hold your hand out.
Is that...
Ow! Great job. Now, try to keep the blood inside the circle. I don't want to stain Wilmer's carpet.
It really hurt.
Almost done now. Now I just speak the magic incantation. Sigam Stro Eviserpimi. Lord Satan, I offer you this mortal soul as a sacrifice to your dark covenant. And your card, of course, was the lucky 6 of 4 of spades. Son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the Presidential Debates. Now I've come to a game called Hoedown. This is for both candidates, and I want you to come up with the deficit hoedown with the help of Richard Vranch on the piano. Take it away.
The
This episode of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast starred Lionel Richie, Richie Rich, Rich Little, Chicken Boo, Boo Radley, Milton Burl, Burl Ives, Keenan Ivory Wayans, Wayne Newton, Juice Newton, Orin Juice Jones, Casey Jones, John Jones, a.k.a. the Martian Manhunter, John Calvin, Calvin DeForest, DeForest Kelly, Kelly Clarkson, Lewis and Clark, Martin and Lewis, Rowan and Martin, Rowan Atkinson, and Dr. Atkins. It was written by the Birdman of Alcatraz with Tom Conway and Tony Danza. Music by the Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza. It was produced in a blender with shaved ice and...
This collection of sketches from Sarcastic Voyage starred Duncan Bosco, Mark Bosco, Dave Fields, Nathan Lejeunesse, George Lowe, Joseph Ravenson, Matt Robotham, Amanda Smith, Sabrina Snyder, Jason Wallace, and Ron Algar Watt. It was written by Gav Brown, Mark Darren, Matt Robotham, Amanda Smith, Jason Wallace, and Ron Algar Watt. It was produced by Algar Productions, copyright 2013 and 2016.